The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 27. This will also serve as our sermon text this morning. Jesus went away with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, "John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." "But who do you say I am?" he asked them. Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He was speaking plainly to them. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But after turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men." He called the crowd and his disciples together and said to them, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." The gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many ancient church fathers and historians talk about the way the Apostle Peter died. They say he was executed, that he was crucified. About 150 years after Peter died, there's a work called the Acts of Peter that came around, and the early church recognized that this probably wasn't authentic. But this work tried to fill in some of the details of what happened when Peter died. And even though this account might not be true, it does get to the heart of our gospel reading for today. It talks about how when Peter was about to be killed, he didn't do whatever he could to try to avoid it. Now instead, he wasn't thinking about himself at all. He was thinking about the things of God. He was thinking about his Savior. The Acts of Peter says this, "Peter, having come to the cross, said, 'Since my Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven upon earth, was raised upon the cross upright, and he has deigned to call me to heaven, even though I'm of the earth, my cross ought to be fixed with the head down, so as to direct my feet towards heaven, for I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord.' Then, having reversed the cross, they nailed his feet up." And we don't know for sure if the Apostle Peter was actually crucified upside down or not. We'll have to ask him someday. But this exemplifies what happened to him in our gospel reading from the inspired Gospel of Mark today. Peter's life and his death, they were turned upside down by what Jesus had to say. And that's what Jesus does to us today too. Through these words from the Gospel of Mark, he turns our lives, he turns our eternities really, upside down. And Peter maybe thought he knew what to expect when it came to Jesus. At the start of our reading, Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responded for all the disciples, "You are the Christ." And it was a wonderful confession. But then when Jesus starts explaining what it means that he is the Christ, Peter actually thinks that Jesus has it upside down. Jesus explained, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again." He was speaking plainly to them. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter had been very excited for a second. He and all the disciples. "Jesus is the Christ. Yes, this means that he is going to come and make our lives wonderful. He's going to overthrow the Romans. He's going to give us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happy fishing on the Sea of Galilee. This will be wonderful. And then Jesus talks about suffering and being rejected and dying. And as they're walking on the way and Jesus is explaining this, Peter feels the need to rush forward and kind of take Jesus to the side and scold him like a parent with a child. After Jesus said this, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Jesus, this can't be right. Now, what I want doesn't really line up with what you want here, and I'm guessing that you're wrong. You've got it all upside down. But then Jesus responds to Peter with the harshest rebuke ever given to a disciple. After turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus calls Peter Satan, with words he reserved for Satan himself at the end of his temptation in the wilderness. "Get behind me, Satan." He says that to Peter. And not just Peter, he makes sure that everybody else is in the line of fire. He speaks to Peter, but he's facing all of the disciples behind him. And he's facing us too. When we, like Peter, have our minds more on the things of men than the things of God. When we get turned upside down, according to Jesus. Jesus doesn't respond to Peter and say, "I know that's what you want, but here's what I want." No, Jesus says, "I have in mind the things of God. The Son of Man must suffer, and not just the Son of Man. But Peter, you do too." Jesus says all of his disciples have to have their lives turned upside down. He says, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Jesus is the Christ. And Peter had that upside down, what that meant for his life. What does it mean to you? When you think of Jesus, the Christ, does it bring to mind earthly things or the things of God? The things of men or the things of God? I was looking in the Christian book aisle at Barnes & Noble this week, and I found a smattering of titles of the books there. Here's just a sample. "Live Free. You're Already Amazing. Dream Big. Win Your War. Fierce, Free, and Full of Fire, The Guide to Being Glorious You. And finally, Crazy Happy." Is that what Jesus means to you? Is Jesus in your life to help you fulfill your dreams, your wants, to help you be crazy happy and fierce free and full of fire? If so, then we're turning the kingdom of God upside down, making it more about what we want, making it more about the things of men instead of the things of God. And that's really what the devil wants us to do. That's why Jesus called Peter Satan. Now, it maybe came from a good place. Peter did not want his Savior to die, but he was thinking the things of men. And if you're thinking the things of men, you're in league with the devil. And the devil didn't want to convince Jesus not to go to the cross and suffer and die because he cared about Jesus. "No, Jesus, don't suffer and die. Your life will be so much better without it." No, the devil really wanted Jesus to die, but eternally. He wanted Jesus to reject the Father's will. And not only that, he wanted Jesus to reject the Father's will so that we would die eternally. So that every follower of Jesus would be trapped with the result of thinking the things of men. The result is death. Eternal death, when you don't follow God's plan, but follow your own and what you want. And so Jesus doesn't even consider it. He doesn't give Satan's suggestion the light of day. He rebukes Peter right away, and he rebukes us when we think that Jesus is here to serve our desires, our wants. "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus didn't come up to Peter and say, "You know what, Peter, I'm thinking about maybe suffering and dying, but also I'm thinking about living a long life. I don't know, what do you think?" No, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer. It wasn't about what he wanted. He asked the Father, Father, if there's any other way, but if not, your will be done. And this was God's will, and so Jesus was happy to do it, to take up his cross, to suffer, and to die. But because he embraced the Father's will perfectly in our place, we see this get turned upside down. What was the result of Jesus suffering and dying for God's will? He rose again from the dead. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, free from death forever. And not only that, the result of Jesus' suffering and death, of him living an upside-down life, was eternal life for you. He took away the result of us thinking the thoughts of men. He took away the death that we would earn for ourselves by our wants, and he gave us what God wanted for us, eternal life and forgiveness. And when you know that this is what God brought through Jesus' suffering and death, through his cross, well, then you do trust the Father. Trust that his wants are better than yours. Trust him when he puts crosses in your life. And you want to pick them up. You want to. It's been said that in Jesus' army, there are only volunteers. That's what Jesus talks about here. He says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. When God wins our hearts through what Jesus has done for us, through the eternal salvation he has given us, and when God gives us faith, then we do want to deny ourselves, turn our lives upside down, set our wants aside, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. And this will often bring suffering in our lives. Now, you don't want suffering. You don't have to want suffering. Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way. The Apostle Paul said, Jesus, please take this thorn of my flesh away. But when God says no, when God lets you suffer for doing his will, then that is something you want. You don't want to suffer in marriage. Of course not. You want a wonderful marriage. But when God puts a cross in your marriage, that is, when he says, this marriage will become harder if you make it about what God wants instead of what you want. This marriage will become more difficult if you remember that marriage isn't about you being happy, but about God's promises and you reflecting the love of Christ. Well, then you willingly take up that cross. Even if it means you have to suffer more in marriage by daily repentance and forgiveness, by living selflessly instead of selfishly. You don't want suffering at work. You don't want a bad boss. You don't want bad coworkers. You don't want mean customers. But if God brings them into your life, then there's a cross there that you can pick up. The cross that God has given you that says, deny yourself. Deny thinking that your life is all about you having things easy and everybody being nice to you. Deny yourself. Take up that cross that says, in humility, consider those people better than yourself. Submit to your boss even when he's mean. Be kind and compassionate to your coworkers and customers even when they don't deserve it. That's a cross, but it's a cross we want. And you don't want to suffer by getting sick or dying. And you don't want loved ones to get sick and die. But when God brings that into your life, when God says, this is my good and gracious will for you, then we do want to pick up the cross that comes with it. The cross of denying ourselves, denying that bucket list that we really wanted to do for ourselves and saying, this is God's will and I love it. This is God's will that I suffer, that he shows me that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And if it means I have to get sick and if it means I have to die, then that's what I want. That's how Peter's life got turned upside down. He did not want to die, to be executed. Who does? But when God brought that into his life for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel, well, then he did want to glorify God. Jesus himself said that Peter would die. In John chapter 21, he says, Peter, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you do not want to go. Peter did not want to be executed. But what does Jesus say in the next verse? Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Peter didn't want to die, but he did want to suffer for the sake of Jesus. And so if that meant he could be crucified, maybe even crucified upside down to glorify Jesus, to glorify the one who had taken up his cross to give him eternal life, then Peter was happy to do it. He didn't do whatever he could to avoid it. He was happy to die because he knew that Jesus had turned that upside down. His death would become his eternal life through what his Savior had done for him. In short, we don't want to suffer, but we do want to follow Jesus. We want to follow the one who suffered and died and rose and rules for us. And so if that means that we suffer, we do want that. We want to take up our cross because that's what Jesus, the Christ, means for us. He doesn't necessarily mean that your life will be free and full of fire and crazy happy, but it does mean that in the end, everything will be turned right side up. Because of your Jesus who turns suffering and dying into rising and ruling and victory, your life is turned upside down. In the end, self will be turned to God. Suffering will be turned to joyful glory. And death will be turned to everlasting life. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.